Hello darlings, bonjour et bienvenue à mon nouveau podcast Made in Charente. Venez avec moi, Katie Anderson, pour une nouvelle aventure toutes les semaines. Nous allons rencontrer des personnes qui dynamisent notre belle région. Ils ont tous une belle histoire à nous raconter. Des loisirs dans la nature, des créateurs, un peu de déco et bien sûr un tout petit peu de vin. Mes remerciements à mes sponsors Allianz Assurance, Boulistec Célestère Parufec et le méga talentueux Brian Sanders de la Sound Kitchen Jarnac pour ma super musique générique. Allez, je prends mon petit vélo, micro dans le panier. Qui est-ce qu'on va rencontrer cette semaine? Vous êtes prêts? Let's go! Bonjour, je suis trop contente de vous retrouver encore cette semaine. Et aujourd'hui, on parle du pain, symbole de la France. Mais aujourd'hui, on va rencontrer un boulanger anglais qui est installé à Civray dans son propre café, le Café Civray, où il fabrique les pains traditionnels anglais, aussi populaires avec les résidents français que ses compatriotes. Je suis allée le voir en pleine production dans sa cuisine.
Good morning to you, Katie.
Thank you very much for inviting me into your kitchen here. It's a veritable hive of activity.
Yes, it's morning time for the bakers, and all bakers are busy first thing in the morning.
Absolutely. Do you rise and shine at 3 a.m?
No, 6. Relatively normal.
Yes. It's a very British affair.
British and American. I do some American stuff as well, but yeah, mostly British stuff.
Of course, your wife is American too, so do you kind of combine both of the things that you love?
Correct, yeah.
Both places. How long have you been here for?
Since July we started trading, but I was renovating from probably the middle of May, when we were allowed to go out a little bit more.
Yeah, so you certainly picked a year for it.
I couldn't believe it. After I signed the lease, they shut us down.
Oh, my goodness me. Well, we're obviously wearing our masks this morning, and you're keeping an eye on a bacon sandwich that you've got cooking for a customer there.
That's
so
right.
You're moving around.
Very popular first thing in the morning is a bacon butty.
Ah, so do you find you have mostly English people coming in because you serve that kind of thing?
Basically, yeah, they come in for their English breakfast, but we have found a lot of French people starting to have English breakfast if they come in, because we do it all day through till 2 o'clock, so they'll have that for a lunch.
Oh, okay. I think they're quite intrigued by it, aren't they?
I think that's what it is, or they've had it when they've been in the UK before, and, you know, they kind of like it.
Yeah, so. It's kind of continental, I suppose, for them. Something a bit exotic.
Yeah, there you go.
So how long have you actually been in the area for altogether? Because you have a bed and breakfast too, don't you?
Yes, but we've actually closed the bed and breakfast at the moment. Obviously doing this, it's...
Turning out to be a full-time job.
Exactly.
And what brought you to this particular area in the first place?
Well, we knew Donna, who was previously here.
Service!
Service, Laura.
Is there a bell?
No.
And off the bacon sandwich goes.
Get this outwards.
Yeah, so you had friends in the area already.
Someone we knew already, and there's a couple of people, American people who we knew, lived in the village in Civray, in the town. So yeah, so we knew the place, and we were looking after Christmas to take our business from our home and do it somewhere else, because sometimes when you're having lots of people around the house for baking lessons and things like that, it was getting a bit intrusive. So we thought it'd be nice to come out and do it in a different place and do what we do.
So were you a baker in the UK as well?
I was a baker. I was trained in the UK, but I didn't like living in the UK very much, so I decided to travel, and then so I baked all over the world, basically.
Ah, and is that where you met your sweetheart?
It is, actually, on the island of Bermuda.
Oh, really? Oh, very nice.
Laura was teaching there, and I was baking, bakery manager there, and we met there, as you do, a musician and a baker. They go so well together.
I mean, yeah. You wooed her with your bread and your tunes.
She wooed me with her viola, yeah.
So, just looking at your bread in here, what's this loaf you've got cooking?
So, it's like a white Danish loaf, typical English white Danish loaf. I make it with British UK strong flour, this one. But I also use the French flour for all my brioche buns, like my donuts and my ice fingers and cinnamon buns and things like that.
Okay.
So, it's a kind of mixture of flours. I play around. So, and that's what makes it fun, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a very different type of bread that we have in the UK to in France. I mean,
sure.
Sourdough, very popular in England now, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
and
yes.
That's equivalent, I suppose, to the rustique we get here.
Exactly.
But do French people like this bread? Do they find it heavy?
Yeah,
or
No, they find it okay. I mean, people have sandwiches on it, and French people have sandwiches, and yeah, come back again, so they must like it.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
It's really combining the two most French things I can think of, isn't it, really, what you're doing here, the cafe and the baking?
Yep, yep, all in one place, which is very, very American style, where you have the cafe bakeries everywhere, which is very normal over there. So, yeah, it's good.
And quite nice for you being right on the high street. You're not out in the countryside. A lot of British people, when they move here, sort of live in the middle of nowhere or go for a farm type experience.
Sure.
How is it in being in a town?
It's great because we actually live out, like as you say, out in the countryside in a small hamlet, which is really lovely. But it's nice being in town and seeing people walk by, and it's a bit busier, and so that's quite nice. I didn't want to particularly live in a town, but coming to work in one is really good.
And did you find it hard to settle in?
To Civray?
Yeah, to Civray.
No, I think they're very warm people, very friendly. They came in and welcomed us. The customers have been brilliant, very friendly, and I think they've made us feel very welcome.
And I know you've got kids here as well, so yep. And now your mother's just come to join you too.
Yes, yes.
So
got the cleaner over.
You've got the cleaner over. The manager is here. So do the kids get on well at school? Are they enjoying French life?
Fantastic, yeah. Patrick is 8. And he's been schooled here since we moved in 5 years now. And he loves it, absolutely loves it. Beatrice has only been going to school for like just under a year. And she's just settling. She was, you know, any little kid when they first start school can be a little bit temperamental. But now she seems happy. She just goes in and she's quite happy.
Yeah, they adapt very quickly, don't they? Much quicker than us.
Sure. She's tired when she comes home at the end of the day after a full day of French, as you would be.
Yeah, know the feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's quite taxing on the brain continuously. But Patrick, he's normal to him from flipping from one to the other now. So.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, really,
yeah,
isn't
incredible.
It?
Incredible. I wish I could do it like that.
Do you feel that you made a right choice for your family by doing everything you love here in this country? You're happy
sure,
you came?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, it was always a dream of mine to come and live in France. I travelled it when I was younger and fell in love with it. So it was always something where I wanted to end up in my latter years, and always thought I could retire here. So, yeah, perfect. And for a family, when I met Laura and we had kids, brilliant. I just said France is going to be perfect for us because they're so family-friendly.
Yeah,
it's worked out
that
well.
And the space and the sort of simple way of life,
sure,
I guess.
Sure. The nice relaxed way of life.
Yeah, I think for some people it's not for everyone, is it? Because there is, you have to kind of make your own fun, I suppose.
Sure, especially if we're living, like you say, in hamlets, or we're living out in the country, then you have to basically get out there and find something to do.
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously both a dynamic pair because you're kind of confident enough to take on a cafe in the middle of a French town. Not everyone would feel comfortable doing that.
No.
Is one of you more sort of behind that than the other, or are you both really good at sort of getting projects going?
I think Laura kicks me and makes me do things because she knows I'll do it. Once I get going, off I'll go and just do it. But I'm the one who just has the ideas. I go, oh, we could do this, oh, we could do this. And then Laura kind of works out what's the best way to do things.
That's great.
And controls me a little bit.
You all need it. You
we
all
do.
Need it.
We won't admit it, but we do.
Now, I see also, so on a Monday, you do baking courses for bread.
Yeah, we've been doing that for about 5 years from the house. So now we do it here every Monday. A mixture of sourdough, croissant, which we're going to do this morning. I've got to make some croissants because we've got a lesson on Monday, and I don't actually make croissant in here to sell because there's lots of French bakeries already doing that. So I'm just having a little practice for myself today. So yeah, croissant, pan au raisin, millefeuille, macaroons. It's very French themed because that was it. People were coming over from the UK and wanted to do that with me, French style baking. It's totally French flour, no English flour. We make French baguettes the traditional way with starters and slow ferment. So, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So you never had the idea to try and sort of compete with a French baker, as it were?
Not at all.
From here?
Not at all. They're great bakers and they do well. What they do very well, so I wouldn't...
Quite different things as well.
Sure. I mean, I've been trained, so I know how to do everything, but it's not what I want to do.
It smells so good in this kitchen.
That's terrible,
say.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I never smell it.
You're a master all day.
People walk in and go, God, that smells great.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of like quite a nostalgic smell, I've got to admit. When you come in, it's like, oh, hang on. Where am I? It does smell really good. They look amazing. Wow, look at these beauties. Fabulous. Yep. They look so good.
Fresh bread.
Amazing.
I use them for the sandwiches mostly, but some people come in and buy them off me. But I have them for sandwiches. And I have the baps for the bacon rolls and things like that. But I also do focaccia baps with cheese and onion and herbs and different things.
Delicious. I was going to say, what's your best seller here?
I would say definitely the bun side of thing with the donuts and the brioche, the style buns. Cinnamon buns, people love them. Jam donuts, yes. And then the meat pies. They've just started to, now starting to, people to come in. They try them, they go away, and now they're starting to take off a little bit.
Oh, that's great. I love the way you do the mix of the two things. So the courses in French at home for French style breads and patisseries, and then here the English stuff. Have you found this year, because I think everyone tried their hand at making sourdough during the lockdown.
Yeah.
I've got to fess up, my loaf could have killed a duck had I actually chucked any out on the river. It's really much harder than you think to bake bread,
I think.
It's time.
It's basically all about time. And it's the same for your starter. If you just, you know, we went on lockdown, so people asked me, how do you make a starter? So I was showing, I did a little video on YouTube with it.
Brilliant.
How to make a starter. But starters need to mature, and then they get stronger and better and better, and then your loaves get lighter and more flavour.
Right, I'll take your word for that, because that isn't what happened to me, Keith. they got denser and denser, denser.
Yeah.
It looked okay.
Good. But you still had bread on the table.
Yeah, kind of. But I was the only one eating it, mind you, just to make sure I did. I wasted a lot of flour, I think.
It
was not that easy to get hold of either at that time.
That's true.
Did you find you had more people sort of signing up for courses when you came out of the lockdown then, because of that or not?
Not to begin with, because I think people were still being very careful at the start to come out and do stuff like that, about, you know, in a group. But in the last sort of month, definitely, over the course of September, it started to really pick up, and this month's full, and November is just starting to fill up, so
that's brilliant.
January is always a quiet one, so we don't do a lot in January with the baking, and most people are not really interested, but then they all kick off again in February.
It's quite a nice gift idea as well, I guess.
Yeah, we do vouchers. We do. You can buy your partner or your friend a voucher.
Perhaps I ought to drop some heavy hints. Given my baking success.
There you go. Sourdough.
Sourdough. Any kind of bread would be
sourdough is quite good, because you actually get my mature starter to go home with. We actually feed my starter on the day, so you'll get a little piece of old starter.
Ah.
So it actually, you know, begins your life of sourdough.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a little pet. You have to keep feeding it, don't
you? Absolutely. You have to. Yeah, really have to love it.
Brilliant. So what are you working on next this morning then, Keith?
As I say, I'm just about to do a practice of croissant again for myself, because I haven't actually taught this lesson since last August. So I'm just recapping what I do in the process. So I made some croissant dough this morning.
Oh, that looks good.
And you can watch, actually, if you want.
Yeah, sure.
While I just quickly...
move that out of the way.
Yeah, you go there and I go here.
Okay. Ooh, it looks very shiny and buttery.
Yeah, I put a little bit of olive oil into the container just to stop it sticking to the container, hopefully. I don't like them in there, really. So what we're going to do is just basically layer some butter. And it should just go plop. There you go. Into our dough. And it's, as you can feel it, if you want to squeeze it, you can feel how soft and lovely
nice,
it is.
Isn't it? Plump. Peachy.
So croissant dough really has an overnight starter, but today I didn't do that. I just quickly made the dough because I just wanted to practice.
Surprising how light that feels, actually, given all the burr.
So that little piece of dough has all that burr.
Oh my god!
In it, which most people, when they come on the lesson, go, really? I eat them a lot, and I say, yeah.
Yeah, you want to be having that just once a week, mate.
Check that cholesterol level a little bit.
Wow, that's a lot of butter, isn't it?
So yeah, it's quite incredible how much. It's like,
doesn't feel greasy though. It just feels quite light.
Yeah, but it's the layering that does that, and the yeast dough.
I'm shocked how much butter is in that, actually.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think I might look away, or I'll never eat one again.
And the scary thing is, wonderful puff pastry has even more.
Yeah.
Because with croissant, you have yeast in it, so that helps it rise. But with puff pastry, you only have lamination.
In case
layers.
Anyone's wondering what's going on here, you are actually rolling this out. So everything's shaking.
Yeah, the table shakes a little bit as I do it. But I'm trying to be gentle. And then we're basically just going to encase
So you've got to have a nice light touch for doing any kind of pastry work. Cold hands.
Yeah, yeah. Nice cool table is good, especially when you're laminating butter. Mm. In the middle of the summer, I don't actually do the lessons because it's just too
impossible.
Hot.
Yeah, must just melt.
So what we have to do is encase the butter into the dough to start off with, and then
okay, like a sort of butter sandwich.
A butter sandwich, yes.
Okay.
So once we have a case, now we have to fold this and roll it out and fold it three times. But what you don't want to do, if you can help it, is do it all at once. You need to refrigerate your dough in between lamination.
Uh-huh.
And then basically you're building your layers and the butter sets all in layers.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
So you just, to begin with, you just gently roll because you want your butter to generally spread rather than you push it right through into the two layers you've already created.
So it requires
created.
A bit of patience, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit of... Once you get going, the first one's the hardest, and once you get going, it's very good and very easy to do.
So how many croissants will you get out of this piece you've got here? I mean, it's what, 30 centimetres?
Yeah, but you get about 18 from this.
That's quite a lot, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it depends how big you want them. Again, if you want small cocktail ones, you can get 36 if you want little ones.
Ooh, cocktail croissant.
You know, tiny little ones which you can have for parties or morning, you know, like a wedding party in the morning. They want a breakfast with little pastries, something like that. You can also make pain au raisin from this dough. So you get the benefit of two worlds. And the rule of a baker is everything is in uniform rectangles, and then once again we fold that over and we just gently roll it and mark it one. That's, we've done it once.
Oh, with your finger, little dip.
Put it back in our paper.
How long are you going to leave that for then?
So if you use the refrigerator, around an hour.
Okay.
If you're using a freezer, about 15 minutes.
Right, and so you'll be getting that back out again and doing
exactly
the same thing again.
And doing exactly the same process for three times.
Uh-huh.
Then I let it rest for about an hour or so.
Yeah.
Or I can leave it overnight before I actually shape my croissant.
Okay, wow. That's fantastic. Oh, I've loved watching you do that. Thank you so much, Keith.
You're very welcome.
I think I need to sign myself up for a bread course with you very soon.
There you go.
I'd love to come and do that. Oh, thank you so much. It was so nice to meet you.
And very nice to meet you
and,
too.
And wishing you all the very best with it all.
Thank
and
you.
I'll see you soon for some bread making.
Excellent.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Au revoir, merci.
Au revoir, merci.
Merci Keith et merci à vous. À la semaine prochaine. Bisous. Made in Charente podcast est sponsorisé par Alliance Assurance pour vos assurances santé, maison, auto et entreprise.